Good afternoon. Thank you for coming to this press briefing, which is the presentation of my preliminary remarks, my findings after my mission to the Sultanate of Oman.
There's a humming noise.
Yes, there is. Okay, is that better? I can hear the humming.
هل تسمعوني؟ غير مسموع.
Is that better?
It goes.
Can you hear it now? I hear the noise. I think it's a bit loud.
Before
we start, it's important to get that sound right.
Seems to go when you put it by the speaker.
What's the speaker? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Smile.
Do I need this for recording? Okay.
Just all in English in one go, and then see the translation in
Arabic. No, I think we'll do it paragraph by paragraph. It may take a little longer, but I think it's good to make sure we capture everything, both in English and Arabic, accurately, because there's some things I may add.
سنترجم فقرة فقرة لتأكد من التركيز على كافة النواحي، وإن كنت أود أن أضيف شيئا سأترجم مباشرة.
All right, let me first of all, let me read it. I would like to thank the government of the Sultanate of Oman for inviting me to visit the country in order to observe the situation of the rights to freedom of peaceful assembly and of association. Oman is the first country in the Middle East to extend an invitation to my mandate since its establishment by the Human Rights Council in October 2010, and in fact the first special rapporteur visit since 2006. I view this as testimony of its willingness to have a frank, constructive, and open dialogue on the situation of human rights.
أود بداية أن أشكر حكومة سلطنة عمان على دعوتي لزيارة البلاد من أجل الاطلاع على وضع الحق في حرية التجمع السلمي وتكوين الجمعيات. إن سلطنة عمان هي أول دولة في الشرق الأوسط توجه الدعوة إلى ولايتي منذ إنشائها من قبل مجلس حقوق الإنسان في أكتوبر 2010، وزيارتي هي الأولى لمقرر خاص أتى إلى عمان منذ العام 2006، وتعتبر هذه الدعوة بمثابة شهادة للسلطنة تبين استعدادها لإجراء حوار صريح ومفتوح حول حالة حقوق الإنسان.
As a special rapporteur, I am an independent expert appointed by the United Nations Human Rights Council in my personal capacity, and I work on a voluntary basis in fulfillment of my mandate.
كمقرر خاص، أنا خبير مستقل معين من قبل الأمم المتحدة بصفتي الشخصية، وأعمل على أساس طوعي وفاء لولايتي المكلف بها.
My team and I have been deeply touched by the hospitality, generosity, and welcoming nature of the Omani people.
وقد تطرقنا أنا وفريقي إلى طبيعة الشعب العماني من كرم الضيافة والترحيب والحفاوة التي أحطنا بها.
Let me also thank the government for its cooperation before and during the conduct of this mission. I am most grateful to all my interlocutors. I have had constructive talks with members of the executive, legislative, and judicial branches. I've also met with the representatives of the National Human Rights Commission, and I had the opportunity to meet the DOFA governorate representative during my two-day trip to Salalah.
وأود أن أشكر حكومة سلطنة عمان على تعاونها معي قبل وخلال مهمتي، وإنني في غاية الامتنان لجميع من حاورتهم، حيث كان لي محادثات بناءة مع ممثلي السلطة التنفيذية والتشريعية والقضائية، والتقيت أيضا بممثلي اللجنة الوطنية لحقوق الإنسان، كما أتيحت لي الفرصة بلقاء مستشار محافظ ظفار خلال رحلتي إلى صلالة والتي استغرقت يومين.
Unfortunately, I was not permitted to meet with Mr. Talib Al-Mamri, a member of the Shura Council who is currently serving a prison sentence after being convicted of convening an illegal gathering.
وللأسف لم يسمح لي بزيارة السيد طالب المعمري عضو مجلس الشورى الذي يقضي حكما بالسجن بعد إدانته بالدعوة إلى تجمع غير قانوني.
In addition, I have met courageous human rights activists, both men and women, including young lawyers, bloggers and researchers. I am gravely concerned by reported reprisals before and during my visit, following their attempts to contact or meet with me. I urge the government to ensure the safety of all these individuals and that they will not be subjected to any form of reprisals, including threats, harassment, punishment, or judicial proceedings, as required by Human Rights Council Resolutions 2424 and 12-2, 12-2, and in the terms of reference for country visits by special procedures of the Council.
بالإضافة إلى ذلك فقد التقيت بنشطاء حقوق الإنسان الشجعان رجالاً ونساءً بما في ذلك المحامين الشباب والمدونين والباحثين وأنا أشعر ببالغ القلق إزاء حالات الاقتصاص المبلغ عنها قبل وأثناء زيارتي جراء محاولتهم الاتصال بي أو اللقاء معنا وإنني أناشد الحكومة ضمان سلامة جميع هؤلاء الأفراد وأن لا يتعرضوا لأي شكل من أشكال الاقتصاص بما في ذلك التهديدات والمضايقات والعقابات أو الإجراءات القضائية ذلك تمشياً مع قرارات مجلس حقوق الإنسان رقم 24/24 و12/2 كما تمشياً مع شروط الزيارات القطرية التي وضعتها الإجراءات الخاصة لمجلس حقوق الإنسان.
Oman has come a long way in the last 40 years with remarkable achievements, especially in infrastructure, education, water, electricity, health, and the economy. Clearly, the modernization policies have had a positive impact that should be recognized and celebrated.
لقد قطعت سلطنة عمان شوطاً طويلاً في السنوات الأربعين الماضية مع إنجازات ملحوظة لا سيما في مجالات البنى التحتية والتعليم والمياه والطاقة والصحة والاقتصاد ومن الجلي أن سياسات الحداثة قد كان لها أثر إيجابي يستحق الإقرار به والاحتفاء به.
Moreover, Oman's stability and peace cannot be gainsaid in a region that is better known for turbulence, tensions, and conflicts.
وكذلك فإن الاستقرار والأمان اللذين تنعم بهما سلطنة عمان ليسا بالأمر المفروغ منه في منطقة عرفت بكثرة النزاعات والتوترات وعدم الاستقرار فيها.
But 40 years hence, this is the time for Oman to build on these achievements by adopting a human rights and people-centered approach that can lead to the full enjoyment of fundamental rights and freedoms, including rights to the freedom of peaceful assembly and of association. I am confident that just as Oman has successfully modernized and is a strong state, it can and should embrace further openness.
وبعد 40 عاماً فإن الوقت قد حان لسلطنة عمان لكي تؤسس على تلك الإنجازات من خلال اعتماد منهجية لحقوق الإنسان تكون قائمة على الفرد ويكون من شأنها أن تؤدي إلى التمتع الكامل بالحقوق والحريات الأساسية بما في ذلك الحق في حرية التجمع السلمي وتكوين الجمعيات وأنا على ثقة من أن عمان نجحت في اللحاق بركاب الحداثة وبأنها دولة قوية فإنه يمكن لها وينبغي عليها اليوم أن تبني أن تتبنى المزيد من الانفتاح.
In my meetings with government, I observed a consistent focus on maintaining peace, order and stability in Oman, often used as the rationale for limiting assembly and association rights. Stability is certainly important. But it is crucial to emphasize that the enjoyment of civil and political rights on one hand and stability on the other hand are not mutually exclusive. In fact, human rights are the foundation for true and sustainable stability. Stability flows organically through involvement and consensus, through a social contract in which everyone freely participates. the rights to freedom of peaceful assembly and of association, in particular, foster government accountability, ethnic equity, cultural diversity, tolerance, participation, and good governance, which in turn all promote stability.
في لقاءاتي مع الحكومة لاحظت التركيز المستمر على الحفاظ على السلم والنظام العام والاستقرار في سلطنة عمان والذي غالبا ما استخدم كأساس منطقي لتقييد حقوق التجمع وتكوين الجمعيات الاستقرار مهم ولا شك إنما لابد من التشديد على أن التمتع بالحقوق المدنية والسياسية من جهة وبالاستقرار من جهة أخرى أمران غير متناقضين لا يلغي أحدهما الآخر في الواقع إن حقوق الإنسان هي أساس الاستقرار الحقيقي والمستدام ويحل الاستقرار بشكل طبيعي من خلال المشاركة والتوافق عبر عقد اجتماعي يشارك فيه الجميع بحرية وعلى وجه الخصوص الحق في حرية التجمع السلمي وتكوين الجمعيات يعزز المساءلة الحكومية والمساواة بين مختلف الثقافات والمشاركة والتسامح والحكم الرشيد التي جميعها بدورها تعزز الاستقرار.
From my meetings with victims and activists, I got the distinct impression of a pervasive culture of silence and fear affecting anyone who wants to speak and work for reforms in Oman. They are afraid to speak their minds, afraid to speak on the telephone, afraid to meet. Ubiquitous communications technologies that the rest of the world takes for granted, such as Skype, are unavailable in Oman, something that my team and I bear witness to.
في لقاءاتي مع المجتمع المدني والضحايا والناشطين خرجت بانطباع واضح بانتشار ثقافة الصمت والخوف التي تؤثر على كل من يتحدث أو يعمل من أجل الإصلاح في السلطنة إنهم يخشون التعبير عن أفكارهم يخافون من التكلم عبر الهاتف ويتخوفون من اللقاء إن استخدام تكنولوجيا الاتصالات في كل مكان في العالم يعتبر من المسلمات إلا أنه مثل سكايب غير متاح في سلطنة عمان وهذا شيء أستطيع أنا وفريقي أن نشهد به.
Many people I spoke to reported being arrested or detained without due process, some repeatedly, and subjected to intimidation and psychological torture simply for trying to assert their rights. I would like to underline that all the people I spoke to who have been subjected to this harassment stress that what they want is peaceful reform, not revolution.
كثير من الناس الذين تحدثنا إليهم أفادوا عن تعرضهم للاعتقال أو الاحتجاز دون اتباع الأصول القانونية البعض مرارا وتكرارا ويتعرضون للترهيب والتعذيب النفسي هذا لمجرد محاولتهم التأكيد على حقوقهم أود أن أشدد على أن كافة الذين تحدثت إليهم قد تعرضوا لمثل هذه المضايقات ويؤكدون على أن ما يطالبون به هو الإصلاح السلمي وليس الثورة.
The issue of corruption was repeatedly raised by both the government and civil society, with everyone expressing the need to combat the vice. This is a point of convergence, which government officials should welcome, as ending corruption needs the voice of those outside government to hold government officials accountable. In meetings with the government, several officials emphasized that Omani society values a culture of consensus. Consensus requires dialogue between all stakeholders and should not mean silencing dissenting or critical voices. An independent, free, and robust civil society is a valuable partner in the drawing up and implementation of policies for combating corruption and promoting further growth.
طرحت قضية الفساد مراراً وتكراراً من كلا الجانبين من الحكومة ومن المجتمع المدني وعبر الطرفان عن الحاجة إلى محاربة هذه الآفة وتعتبر هذه نقطة التقاء بالفعل يتعين على المسؤولين الحكوميين الترحيب بها إذ أن القضاء على الفساد يستلزم صوت من هم خارج الحكومة كي يتمكنوا من مساءلة المسؤولين الحكوميين. وخلال اجتماعاتي مع الحكومة أكد عدد من المسؤولين على أن المجتمع العماني يقيم ثقافة التوافق، ويتطلب توافق الآراء إقامة حوار بين جميع الأطراف المعنية على ألا يفهم هذا بأنه يعني إسكات الأصوات الناقدة أو المعارضة. إن مجتمعاً مدنياً مستقلاً حراً وقوياً سيكون شريكاً قيماً في وضع وتنفيذ سياسات مكافحة الفساد وتعزيز المزيد من النمو.
It is important that the government urgently ratify the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights and the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights as recommended in its Universal Periodic Review.
من الأهمية بمكان أن تصدق الحكومة على وجه السرعة على العهد المدني المعني بالحقوق الاقتصادية والاجتماعية والثقافية، كما على العهد الدولي المعني بالحقوق المدنية والسياسية وفقاً لتوصيات الاستعراض الدوري الشامل الخاص بالسلطنة.
Oman's creation of a national human rights institution is commendable. And I would like to recognize that some of the members are here with us today and some of the staff. And I'd like to thank them for the warmth and hospitality they have extended to me and my team. However, for the National Human Rights Commission to be more than a public relations gimmick, it must have credibility in the eyes of human rights activists. The Omani Human Rights Commission currently suffers from a deficit of credibility. It is incumbent upon it to do more in the protection of and advocacy for human rights activists who are peacefully engaging in their work.
ونشيد بإنشاء سلطنة عمان لمؤسسة وطنية لحقوق الإنسان، وأود أن أرحب بممثلي هذه اللجنة اليوم الذين قدموا لنا حسن الاستقبال وكرم الضيافة. إنما إذا أردنا لهذه اللجنة الوطنية أن تكون أكثر من واجهة للعلاقات العامة، فينبغي أن تتمتع بمصداقية من قبل نشطاء حقوق الإنسان. وتعاني اللجنة الوطنية العمانية لحقوق الإنسان من عجز في المصداقية، ومن واجبها فعل المزيد من أجل حماية نشطاء حقوق الإنسان والدفاع عنهم لكونهم يزاولون عملهم بشكل سلمي.
And let me say that I was pleased to learn from the National Human Rights Commission that they will indeed be doing much more in terms of expanding, promoting and protecting human rights in the foreseeable future.
وسررت كثيرا إذ سمعت ممثلي اللجنة الوطنية لحقوق الإنسان يؤكدون لنا أنهم سيبذلون المزيد من الجهود في المستقبل من أجل تعزيز وتدعيم حقوق الإنسان.
With these broader concerns in mind and in a spirit of cooperation and constructive engagement, I wish to make some more preliminary observations and recommendations.
الآن وبالأخذ في الاعتبار بهذه الشواغل وبروح من التعاون والمشاركة البناءة، أود أن أبدي بعض الملاحظات والتوصيات الأولية.
Freedom of peaceful assembly. Omani's basic law guarantees the right to peaceful assembly, with a caveat that this right must be within the limits of the law. Unfortunately, based on the information I have gathered, these limits of the law are quite restrictive, to the point where they often annul the essence of the right.
حرية التجمع. يضمن القانون العماني الأساسي الحق في التجمع السلمي، مع التحذير بأن هذا الحق يجب أن يمارس في حدود القانون. لسوء الحظ، استنادا إلى المعلومات التي جمعت، إن حدود القانون هذه هي مقيدة جدا، لدرجة أنها في كثير من الأحيان تلغي جوهر الحق.
Gatherings of more than 9 people, for example, require a de facto approval of the authorities. It also seems that this permission procedure is purely administrative and cannot be contested before a court of law. The Directorate of General Operations is not obliged to provide the reasons for its decision and has an unrestricted scope for the interpretation of what constitutes a limitation to the freedom of assembly, including on the basis of public order.
حيث أن اللقاءات بأكثر من 9 أشخاص على سبيل المثال تتطلب موافقة فعلية من السلطات، ويبدو أيضا أن هذه الموافقة هي إجراء إداري بحت ولا يمكن الطعن فيه أمام محكمة القانون، وإن دائرة العمليات العامة غير ملزمة ببيان أسباب اتخاذ هذا القرار، ولها صلاحية تامة لتفسير ما يشكل قيداً على حرية التجمع بما في ذلك حفظ النظام العام.
Under international law, the exercise of the right to freedom of peaceful assembly should not be subject to authorization by the authorities. At most, a prior notification procedure is sufficient in order to take measures to protect public safety and order and the rights and freedoms of others. Moreover, spontaneous assemblies should be recognized in law and exempted from prior notification.
بموجب القانون الدولي فإن ممارسة الحق في حرية التجمع السلمي لا ينبغي أن تخضع للترخيص من قبل السلطات، أو على الأكثر فإن الإخطار المسبق هو إجراء كاف لاتخاذ التدابير اللازمة لحماية السلامة العامة والنظام وحقوق الآخرين وحرياتهم. علاوة على ذلك ينبغي الاعتراف بالتجمعات العفوية في القانون وينبغي إعفاؤها من الإخطار المسبق.
There is also reason for concern regarding the response of public authorities to protests. During my visit, I have heard numerous reports of excessive force and arbitrary arrests in response to peaceful assemblies, particularly during the wave of social reform protests in 2011 and 2012, when hundreds were reportedly arrested. Many of the individuals arrested further reported torture at the hands of the authorities, including extended periods in solitary confinement and the blaring of loud music around the clock.
هناك أيضا سبب للقلق بشأن طريقة استجابة السلطات العامة للاحتجاجات. خلال زيارتي سمعت العديد من التقارير عن استخدام القوى المفرطة، الاعتقالات التعسفية ردا على التجمعات السلمية، ولا سيما خلال موجة الاحتجاجات المطالبة بالإصلاح الاجتماعي في عامي 2011 و2012، عندما أفيد عن اعتقال المئات، وعندما ذكر العديد من الأفراد بأنهم تعرضوا للتعذيب على أيدي السلطات بما في ذلك إبقائهم فترات طويلة في الحبس الانفرادي وتشغيل الموسيقى الصاخبة على مدار الساعة.
I believe that the events of 2011-2012 have had a profound effect on the psyche of many Omanis to this day. While a sense of fear prevails, the protests also sparked an irreversible process towards demands for further freedoms. I believe it is time to deepen the dialogue between the authorities and the various stakeholders in society in order to diffuse feelings of anger, distrust, and resentment.
أعتقد أن أحداث 2011 و2012 كان لها تأثير عميق على نفسية الكثير من العمانيين إلى يومنا هذا. وبينما يسود شعور بالخوف، أثارت الاحتجاجات عملية لا رجعة فيها نحو المطالبة بمزيد من الحريات. وأعتقد أن الوقت قد حان لتعميق الحوار بين السلطات وأصحاب المصلحة في المجتمع من أجل نزع فتيل مشاعر الغضب وعدم الثقة والاستياء.
I also strongly believe that peaceful assemblies should not be perceived as a threat. Rather, they should be encouraged as a sort of safety valve, for there is value in expressing disagreement and to hear varying points of views peacefully and publicly. Indeed, there's no better gauge of what people think than peaceful protests.
وأعتقد اعتقادا قويا أن التجمعات السلمية لا ينبغي أن ينظر إليها على أنها تمثل تهديدا، بل ينبغي تشجيعها بصفتها صمامة أمان، لأنه ثمة قيمة في التعبير عن الخلاف وتفاوت وجهات النظر بصورة سلمية وعلنية. وفي الواقع إن الاحتجاجات السلمية هي المقياس الأفضل لمعرفة آراء الشعب.
Freedom of association. The basic law of Oman also establishes the right to form associations, but based on my observations, this right is virtually non-existent in practice.
الحرية النقبية. نص القانون الأساسي لعمان على الحق في تكوين الجمعيات، ولكن ما لاحظته هو أن ممارسة هذا الحق شبه معدومة عملياً في الممارسة.
The 1972 Law on Associations and its amendments are deeply flawed and contrary to international law. Among other things, it limits the type of associations that may be formed, makes registration mandatory, and gives unbridled discretion to the Ministry of Social Development to approve or deny registrations, registration applications for, quote, any reason the minister deems relevant. The same law requires associations to obtain government approval before they work with or receive funding from foreign organizations. Associations must also notify the government of any planned meeting at least 15 days in advance and provide a copy of the meeting's minutes. Moreover, the law prescribes that a representative of the government attends such meetings. And lastly, political parties are banned.
إن قانون الجمعيات وتعديلاته لسنة 1972 تشوبه الكثير من الشوائب ويتعارض مع القانون الدولي، حيث أنه من جملة أمور أخرى يحد من نوع الجمعيات التي قد تتشكل ويجعل التسجيل إجبارياً ويعطي حرية التصرف المطلق لوزارة التنمية الاجتماعية لقبول أو رفض طلبات التسجيل لأقتبس أي سبب يراه الوزير وجيهاً. نهاية الاقتباس. يتطلب نفس القانون أن تحصل الجمعيات على موافقة الحكومة قبل أن تعمل مع أو تتلقى تمويلاً من منظمات أجنبية، ويوجب أيضاً على الجمعيات اختيار الحكومة بشكل مسبق بأي اجتماع قبل عقده بفترة لا تقل عن 15 يوماً، وبتزويد الحكومة بنسخة من محاضر الاجتماعات. علاوة على ذلك، ينص القانون على أن يحضر ممثل للحكومة هذه الاجتماعات. وأخيراً، فإن الأحزاب السياسية محظورة.
An example of the excessive control of the government is the case of a group of concerned citizens who wanted to start an association to protect forest land in Dofa 3 years ago. The application was refused solely because the government felt the activities would duplicate those of another environmental association in Muscat. But why should one association be given a monopoly? The government would not deny a hotel, for example, a license to operate simply because another hotel operates in the same neighborhood.
مثال آخر على السيطرة المفرطة للحكومة. مجموعة من المواطنين المعنيين الذين أرادوا أن يؤسسوا جمعية لحماية الغابات في محافظة ظفار منذ 3 أعوام. تم رفض إجازتها فقط لأن الحكومة شعرت أن أنشطتها تكرار لنشاط جمعية بيئية أخرى في مسقط. ولكن لماذا تعطى جمعية واحدة حق الاحتكار؟ إن الحكومة لم تحرم فندقاً من رخصة للعمل لمجرد وجود فندق آخر يعمل في نفس الحي.
In fact, a good example is that there's just a hotel 10 meters away from this one right here.
وبالفعل هناك فندق يبعد 10 أمتار عن هذا الفندق مثلاً في الحي نفسه.
I would like to note that the government pledged to amend the law on associations during its universal periodic review in January 2011. I was also repeatedly assured by government officials that the law on association will be amended and is currently under review. I am pleased to hear this, but given the deep and fundamental flaws in the current law, I would recommend that the government consider a new law altogether that is in line with the relevant provisions of international human rights law and standards. As I mentioned in my meetings with government officials, I remain at their disposal should they require technical guidance on such a law as mandated by Human Rights Council Resolution 15/21.
وأود أن أشير إلى أن الحكومة تعهدت بتعديل قانون الجمعيات أثناء الاستعراض الدوري الشامل في يناير 2011. كما طمأنني المسؤولون الحكوميون في مناسبات عدة بأن قانون الجمعيات سيتم تعديله وهو حالياً قيد البحث. ويسرني سماع ذلك، ولكن نظرا للعيوب العميقة والجوهرية في القانون الحالي، أود أن تذهب الحكومة خطوة أبعد فتنظر في إصدار قانون جديد بالكامل يتماشى مع أحكام السكوك الدولية لقانون حقوق الإنسان ذات الصلة. وسأظل تحت تصرف الحكومة في حال طلبت المساعدة الفنية لمثل هذا القانون كما ورد في قرار مجلس حقوق الإنسان 21/15.
I also believe other laws which have a detrimental impact on the exercise of peaceful assembly and association rights should be urgently repealed or amended. For instance, I am deeply concerned about the newly enacted law on nationality, which states that Omani nationals may lose their citizenship if they engage in an organization deemed to be working against the country's interests. There is apprehension that this law can be used to threaten or punish civil society activists who dare to peacefully dissent. I share these concerns.
وأعتقد أيضا أنه يجب أن تكون هناك إجراءات عاجلة لتعديل أو إلغاء القوانين الأخرى التي لها تأثير ضار على ممارسة حقوق التجمع وتكوين الجمعيات السلمية. على سبيل المثال، أشعر بقلق بالغ إزاء قانون الجنسية الذي سن حديثا والذي ينص على أن المواطنين العمانيين قد يتعرضون لفقد جنسيتهم إذا ما ثبت انخراطهم في منظمة تعمل ضد مصلحة البلد. هناك تخوف من أن هذا القانون يمكن أن يستخدم في تهديد أو معاقبة نشطاء المجتمع المدني الذين يجرؤون على المعارضة سلميا. وأشاطرهم هذه المخاوف.
Likewise, I am concerned by the inability of activists or interference of their work in freely trying to associate online. As I noted earlier, access to some voice over internet protocols, VoIP, and instant messaging services is limited, and a number of bloggers and writers have been imprisoned, allegedly for expressing dissenting views online. The UN Human Rights Council recently recognized the importance of new communication technologies in enabling and facilitating the enjoyment of the rights to freedom of peaceful assembly and of association. I echo this sentiment and further argue that information technology is integral to the exercise of assembly and association rights. These technologies are not only a means to facilitate these rights in the real world, they are a virtual space where the rights themselves are actively exercised. And the rights to freedom of peaceful assembly and of association exist as much online as they do offline.
وكذلك أنا قلق من عدم قدرة النشطاء على تكوين الجمعيات على الإنترنت بحرية. كما أشرت في وقت سابق وقلق من أنها غير قادرة على الحصول على المكالمات الصوتية عبر الإنترنت وعلى خدمات تبادل الرسائل الفورية التي تظل محدودة. وتم سجن عدد من المدونين والكتاب بزعم التعبير عن وجهات نظر معارضة على الإنترنت. وقد أقر مجلس حقوق الإنسان في الأمم المتحدة مؤخراً بأهمية التكنولوجيات الجديدة للاتصالات في تمكين وتيسير التمتع بالحق في حرية التجمع السلمي وتكوين الجمعيات. وإني أؤكد بدوري على هذه الأهمية وأزيد بالقول بأن تكنولوجيا المعلومات هي جزء لا يتجزأ من ممارسة حقوق التجمع وتكوين الجمعيات. هذه التقنيات ليست فقط وسيلة لتسهيل هذه الحقوق في العالم الحقيقي، فهي كذلك الفضاء الافتراضي حيث يمكن ممارسة هذه الحقوق نفسها. فالحق في حرية التجمع السلمي وتكوين الجمعيات قائم على الإنترنت كما هو قائم خارج الإنترنت.
Experience has proven that a strong civil society enhances the government's legitimacy and image domestically and internationally. And this, I believe, strengthens and promotes stability. Again, I wish to commend the people and government of Oman for their tremendous achievements to date. I reiterate that I remain at the government of Oman's disposal for further cooperation in its efforts to enhance the exercise of the rights to freedom of peaceful assembly and of association. And I would like to stress that I believe that Oman has got a solid foundation to now be able to move ahead and open up the civil and political rights as much as they have engaged on economic and social rights. And I thank you for your attention.
وقد أثبتت التجارب أن وجود مجتمع مدني قوي يعزز شرعية الحكومة وصورتها محلياً ودولياً، وهذا على ما أعتقد يقوي ويعزز الاستقرار. مرة أخرى أود أن أثني على شعب وحكومة سلطنة عمان على الإنجازات الهائلة المحققة إلى اليوم، ومرة أخرى أكرر استعدادي التعاون مع حكومة سلطنة عمان لدعم جهودها الرامية إلى تعزيز ممارسة الحق في حرية التجمع السلمي وتكوين الجمعيات. وأكرر اقتناعي بأن عمان تملك الأسس الصلبة والقوية التي تسمح لها بالمضي قدما من أجل انفتاح أكبر على الحقوق المدنية والسياسية كما ضمنت سابقا الحقوق الاقتصادية.
Let me also clarify that this is but a preliminary findings that between now and June of next year we will be working on the final report. We welcome submissions, information, corrections, and input onto the report that we'll be making. And we will be sharing the draft of the report with the government of Oman so that it can make its input on it at least a month before we publish it in June 2015. And the two reports, the government's response will and my report will be put together. Will be submitted together.
وأذكر بأنني الآن خرجت باستنتاجات أولية فقط وأننا من الآن وحتى شهر يونيو 2015 سنكون في صدد إعداد التقرير الختامي. لذلك فنظل مستعدين للإصغاء إلى أي تعليقات، معلومات، تصحيحات أو إسهامات تقدمونها لنضيفها إلى التقرير. وأود أن أؤكد لكم أننا سنشاطر مع حكومة عمان النسخة النهائية للتقرير ونظل على استعداد لتسجيل آخر المدخلات التي لديها إلى ما يقارب الشهر التام قبل يونيو 2015.
Okay. Any questions, comments?
هل من تعليقات؟ هل من أسئلة؟
Is there anybody from the media here? What is your...
Hi, my name is Fatma. I'm from Reuters. Actually, I have a few questions. I would rather to have one-on-one, but as long as you have invited the crowd for questions. First, I would like to know how can public participate with their views to this report? Secondly, there is always this feeling from the public that when somebody comes from outside, that person may not know the full picture. Hence, they might try to correct from their personal experience. How do you balance it? How do you differentiate between what's true and what's just a facade? My other...
One question at a time.
If you want to take one question
yes,
at a time.
Yes, just go ahead and one last one. One more or two more?
Yes, yeah, it's one last question. You have met with
No, I have a tajam, it was the libidis master Alec. Is it on?
My last question is you have met with the lawyers, activists, officials. Have you met with people from the media industry? From people from the Ministry of Information, because now the media is one of the biggest fears. We don't allow gatherings because we are worried about what the international media will start writing about these gatherings. Helping only locally, I think that will be a bigger of a problem. But with the social media in place, with international media highlighting Oman, then it becomes an issue. So I would like to know if you have met anybody from the local media during your visit. Thank you.
Well, firstly, in the first question about public participation, there is a website which you can send information to, but also you can send it to the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights. The address for that is Free Assembly at ohchr.org.
ohchr.com.org.
Let me say it again, Free Assembly at, as one word, freeassembly at ohchr.org. You can also send it to the website freeassembly.net. and that anybody who has any views, any information, any corrections, will be pleased to look at them when they come through. On the second question about outsider views and how you make an assessment in a week, I suppose that sometimes if you're not in the kitchen and you're looking from outside, you may have a much more objective view than not. But we have also been reading documents, we have also talked to different people, and we've had different views. And I think at the end of the day, it's a judgment call that I make as to what I think has substance and what has not. Clearly, I mean, the government has been quite clear with me that a lot of the views expressed, a lot of the complaints expressed by activists are false. That's their opinion. I may agree, I may not agree, but I think ultimately I will go through that process of looking at it. And in a sense, it's like what a judge does. The judge is not involved. A judge does not have to be at the scene of crime to make a decision. But I think you listen, you look, you read, you inquire, and you make a decision on that basis. And that's what I'm going to do. And it's a good faith decision that I make. I don't make decisions for any particular negative purposes. My report and my visit here is meant to be constructive. It's meant to help Oman go forward. I believe that by inviting me, the Sultanate of Oman is making a statement that they want the help and they want the assessment, that they themselves perhaps might find it a little difficult as Omanis involved in the day-to-day activities to understand sometimes what's right and what's wrong. And of course, it's often easy to point to the good things. I think the more difficult part is the challenges and pointing them out. That's always the part that makes people, as individuals, even as societies, move ahead, is when somebody can point out the weaknesses and the challenges. There's no way you can move forward if all you do is look yourself in the mirror and say how beautiful you are. You know, you will not see the pimple growing on your face or the horns growing on your head if you keep saying, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful. You know, you have to have a real assessment that says, actually, I have some warts, I have some pimples, and you know, my nose has grown too big now, so it's time to make it smaller. So that's how we know what's right and what's wrong. In terms of the media, we did not meet the Ministry of Information. We met bloggers, and I consider bloggers as part of the journalistic community. Journalism has expanded. It's no longer just now newspapers and television and radio. It includes the internet, it includes the bloggers. And in that sense, I did. However, I am not looking at freedom of expression. There is a special rapporteur with a mandate on freedom of expression. I would urge the government to invite him. I would urge the media here to pressure and persuade the government of Oman to invite the special rapporteur on freedom of expression, and then he can make assessment with the media. But I know, just like the rest of my colleagues, that we read very widely. We follow what's going on as much as we can across the world. We share our work together. We share our sentiments. And I will be speaking to the new special rapporteur on freedom of expression. He's brand new, and I'll be talking to him about Oman and encouraging him to ask for an invitation to come to Oman. But I think that, and in terms of, you know, what international media says and local media, you know, at the end of the day, the world is no longer the way it used to be. You know, it's an open space. Local is international. And we've got to work with that now and operate on the basis that even if international people know what's going on, it is not bad. We are a connected society, and we will be connected. And unless Oman wants to go back to pre-1970, this is a fact of life. You know, it's connected. And no matter what restrictions may be put in, people will find a way around them. And better, in fact, that it's open, so that it's a diversity of views going out, then it's only one, and then people find different ways that may not be generally the truth or than that. So my view is that openness actually helps. It does not hurt. The moment you close down, then people seek alternative ways which may not be peaceful in that sense.
My name is Habiba Hinai. Well,
اسمي حبيبة هناي.
supposed to be a human rights activist, but if you mention this, he is like a criminal. This is an example of being a high school relationship between the government and the activists. None of them are back here.
هناك علاقة باردة جدا بين
being isolated completely and showing them that contacting the international organization
is a failure وكأن الاتصال بمنظمة أجنبية وكأن
الشخص
كائن لبلده وأنه يفسد المجتمع إذن هناك الآن
opening NGOs and contact with the international organization. This is the kind of not accepted so far here. Although they are good international
organizations,
the
Arab
Bank was like government,
good one
with
the
Arab
Bank.
My question is, you coming here as official
government,
will that affect your report, which I can see that
has it in me,
which will be active
in
didn't have confidence that you might write a fair report
posted
by the government. Personally, I'm against isolating myself from hearing the government point of view because then you'll have a bad picture. Maybe they can write sometimes, maybe they are wrong sometimes, maybe
realize
sometimes. So I'm also against it, not be there whenever an event is hosted by the government.
فأنني لا أحضر عندما تقوم الحكومة بعقد أحداث فنقول لماذا سنذهب إليهم ونستمع إليهم وإنني أشكرك على التقرير أو هذا البيان الذي تقدمت به الآن وأشعر أنني راضي عنه وإذا ما كانت لدي أي ملاحظات أخرى فسأرسلها إليك.
Let me say that one of the things that I have found, and I have not put in the preliminary report, but I'll put in the main report, is that clearly there's a need for exposing human rights activists to more training and more exposure on what international human rights law is about, and on how to understand the conventions and how to do documentation, how to do advocacy and campaigns and all that stuff. I think there is a gap, particularly in certain parts of the country, and that's not surprising. I think it's understandable and it's fine. You know, I don't think that Omani human rights activists have been bad. I think they've done well. I just think they need to do better. But at the same time, I think there's also a need to educate government and train government officials. And I'm glad that the Office of the High Commissioner has a program with the National Human Rights Commission where they do training and on things. And I think that's also good. It's not either or. But having done this work for a while, I know that no one has the monopoly of truth or no one has a monopoly of being right. I think what is important first of all, making sure that when you think you're right, you do your research and make sure your documentation is good. But then also being courageous and strong to keep at it. This work comes in small steps sometimes large steps. But we are engaged in a peaceful process of trying to make the world, not just Oman, but the world a much more human rights friendly society. And it's not just Oman. I mean, these issues are there everywhere in the world. It's not just Arab countries or African countries. These issues continue across the world. I've had the chance to have very, very difficult discussions, for example, with the government of Canada and with the government of the United Kingdom. So it's issues that we keep pushing. There's no perfect society. But I think that what is necessary is activists keeping true and keeping focused and keeping determined. And it's not easy. I mean, I can tell you it's not easy. I think what we have learned in life is that the more human rights are respected in a society, then the less power the state has got. The more human rights are respected in a society, then the less discretion and power the state has got. And that's fine. That's how it's supposed to be. So that there is a balance of what the states, there's a limit to what the state can do, and then citizens can push the other things as their rights. And I think Roman is caught in this transition and in this discussion now. And it's something that will be done. But I have learned as well that nobody gives up power just like that. I mean, you have to be asked, you have to be pushed. It's part of the process. And I'm delighted. I think the government of Oman has shown some willingness, you know, to even inviting me and having these discussions. And for that, you've got to commend them. I think it's a first step. I'm hoping they'll invite other special rapporteurs. We are all determined to make human rights in general better for Omanis and for the rest of the world. I personally believe that what Oman has achieved in 40 years and in infrastructure, in education, in electricity, in water, that shows an energy and focus that indeed should be replicated and transferred now to rights, to civil and political rights. Let people speak, let people meet, let people associate, and that debate will make for a much more vibrant and stable Oman, so that anybody with extremist views actually won't have space because the people are engaging. The best way to defeat extremism is not to close down, in fact, is to open up. And then more and more people, in fact, themselves will take that responsibility of dealing with extremism. And thank you for your question, and thank you for coming. And tell your colleagues and friends that please to communicate with me. I think now clearly that because I'm here as an official visitor, an official guest of the government of Oman, I'm sure the government will not have any reprisals, because this is an open discussion. I am a guest of the government of Oman. I've met the people I've met as a guest of the government of Oman, and you can continue communicating with me as a guest of the government of Oman. And in fact, if you want, I think the Minister of Foreign Affairs representative can confirm this.
شكرا حقيقة هو المجال مثل ما ذكروا كل ما قاله رجل جاي بنية صافية ونية ممتازة السلطنة أكد عليها وكل المسؤولين اللي التقى بهم إنهم مشجعين متعاونين إلى أبعد الحدود وكل ما يتعلق بحقوق الإنسان كلنا عايشين في مجتمع واحد كلنا عمانيين في الأخير يعني في الأخير لن نفصل عن بعض ربما قد يكون في بعض الناس عندهم إشكاليات بسيطة قد تحصل وهذه تحصل لأنه لا يوجد شيء اسمه معصوم في الأمور عندنا بالنسبة للسلطنة نحن أفضل من غيرنا في أمور كثيرة قد تبقى أشياء شخصية أشياء ممكن أنها تحل والأمن للجميع وكلكم تشعرون هكذا وكلكم بتطالعون في العالم هذه مداخلة بسيطة من عندي بس أساس أنه أشارك ولا أنا غير يعني مدعو بالحضور أو بالخطر بس حتى أجامل الرجل وأتمنى لكم التوفيق
شكرا لك
I'd like to thank we have really learned and benefited from your visit here to the Sultan. Not as a PR institution, but I would rather say that I like to invite all activists, those who have different views, to come to the Commission and work collaboratively together.
أن يأتوا إلى المؤسسة الوطنية لحقوق الإنسان وأن يعملوا معنا من أجل تحسين الأمور إذن هذه الدعوة في حضوركم لكافة الأخرين لكي ينضموا إلينا من أجل إحداث التغييرات الإيجابية لصالح سلطنة عمان
And I think that's what's wonderful, Mr. Secretary General, and I'm hoping that with your coming into office as Secretary General of the National Human Rights Commission, that this process of engagement in a constructive way will be useful to the people of Oman. And may I encourage you as well that as much as you're inviting them, to also reach out to them deliberately and meet them. And that's just keep at it. Don't just keep at it. Let me encourage you to do that. I think it's the best thing to do. Thank you very much. All right, I think, thank you all. Thank you for coming.
Shukran.
Shukran jazeela. And I've really been touched, and I'm really grateful to the people of Oman. I think this, the warmth and the culture has been very, very touching. I have taken now to liking halwal. Every time I go to a meeting, I ask for halwal. It's wonderful, and I really appreciate this culture, and I appreciate the people of Oman. I know you've had a long and proud history. And I know this is your time again to recreate it, not as colonizers now, because you colonized a part of my country before, but as now as human rights. If you can lead the charge as human rights people, it will be wonderful in terms of a new history by the Omani people. Thank you.
That was history.
Yes. Thank you. Shukran jazeela.
Bon, messieurs,
vous